are at the start of what is going to be our Monday Mile Walk.
Amazing.
So if you just turn slightly this way,
yeah.
Perfect. So in front of you, we have a beautiful autumnal scene, and it is quite literally a straight line. And right in front of you,
right there,
is a white line.
Oh, nice. I can hear all the leaves, actually, people going past,
yeah.
Frenchy leaves.
We can just walk straight up, turn around, come back.
Nice.
How does that sound?
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
And can I hold on to your arm, my love?
So yeah, how's best? Elbow?
Crook of elbow, slightly
okay.
Here, and then
perfect.
We fall together. That'd be amazing.
This is a first for me.
Nice.
I'm really excited to guide our podcast listeners through it. We're going to start with the intro. And we start walking on the intro. So, are you ready? Do you like walking fast or slow?
Mid.
Mid, okay. We'll go for a nice mid pace.
Mid pace.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
Let's go.
Hello and welcome to not just another episode of the Monday Mile podcast. Today, I'm joined by a TikTok sensation, a disability activist, author, and broadcaster. She's a positive force to be reckoned with after losing her full eyesight at the age of 17. She lives by the motto, blind, not broken. And I am chuffed to be walking a mile with a lady leading the charge as a voice of diversity, equality, and inclusion. Lucy Edwards.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Monday Mile Podcast.
Thank you, Hermie. It's so lovely to be here.
I am genuinely so excited about this one. It's a first for the Monday Mile, and I feel like I'm going to learn a lot as well as our listeners.
Yes.
First of all, would you like an audio description?
I would. I'd love it. I love that. I feel like that's my signature at this point. Like everyone, my management team emails like, can you audio describe yourself? But yeah, that would be amazing. Apparently
okay.
You've got a gorgeous coat on.
So I've got what one would describe as a leopard coat. I love a bit of wild leopard. It's a long coat. I've got a pink fluffy jumper. So we're kind of matching
Twinning.
With the fluffy jumper vibes.
Yep.
White trainers. I'd say I'm about 5'3".
Yeah, taller than me. Not
just,
hard.
Only just. And I'm blonde. And as you're about to find out, I love to have a chat.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very smiley face. I can hear it.
Ah, that's crazy. So you're aware of the smiliness just through the sound of my voice.
I think so, yeah. Just because I've been blind for like nearly 12 years now. So, I don't know, it radiates out of someone. You can tell their warmth from like speaking to them. Have I got a zebra print skirt on?
You do have
yeah,
a zebra.
Yeah, so we're very twinning in the in the animal print. I feel like we got the memo without even texting each other.
Yeah, we're all about that. So, you live up in Birmingham.
We're
in London today. What brings you to London?
I am going to the Pride of Britain tonight. So that'll be very lovely. I've got a gorgeous tactile dress that my stylist styled for me, which is brilliant. But I also just do loads of work here. I pretty much live here, but by proxy.
Can we just point out the fact that you have got a sequined gemstone
chain?
How cool is that? Does that have anything to do with the outfit tonight?
You know what? No, this is like my regular one. This is my regular one. My outfit tonight has, like, it's black and then it's got loads of bows on it. But yeah, I do love to match my cane with my outfit. So that's cool.
Well, I will definitely be looking out for you on the red carpet because I'm going to be hosting the red carpet. So this is like when two worlds come together in synergy.
It's cool, isn't it?
Perfect, perfect timing. Now, take me back. Age 17, you lost your eyesight. That must have been a terrifying process.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when I think back to it, I've recounted it so much because of my work.
Yeah.
I feel I want to do justice, but know that this was so hard at one point to actually recount. I think now it's just got a lot easier. So yeah, as you say, like I lost my right eye age 11, left eye 17. And what can I say? Exhale. It was just a massively horrendous time, to be honest, Amy. Like I didn't recognize myself anymore. I didn't really want to get out of bed. I had lots of ice cream. Like no one that I saw in the media or anything was blind. So I don't know, like I didn't really feel my sense of self. And I think being so young and being 17, it's such a defining moment in my life. I think, yeah, it was hard to come up from it. But I think you know, finding my voice online and just making sure that like everyone knew that I was blind, not broken, kind of like formed how I viewed myself again. And I think when I accepted that blind was okay, yeah, and that label was like mine, I don't know, I think my self-acceptance got stronger.
Absolutely embody that in all of your content. It is so positive, infectiously so.
Thank you, Hannay.
Was there a process of almost mourning going through that transition of losing your eyesight? Because there's two very clear stages in that journey.
Yeah, definitely. I think learning to pour a cup of tea again, learning to just butter some toast and being so frustrated, I just wanted to scream, was definitely up there. Not being able to look back at my own reflection in the mirror, not being able to see the clothes that I once saw, and then obviously like trends change and style changes, and I don't know, seeing my boyfriend at the time, now husband, grow older, and all of these different things that I now kind of work with in therapy. It's constant, you know, like being blind, you can grieve every day for something that isn't, like life moves on. The sighted world's kind of moved on without me, and I don't know, if I think about it too hard, it is quite painful, but I think it's about thinking about what I can do, not what,
yes,
I can't.
Girl.
And I think, yeah, that's what I focus
on. And you are doing, you
yeah.
are doing all of the things, which
you,
is so, so beautiful to see. I don't think there is enough in the media, and you are part of that change when it comes to being blind. I've been really fortunate recently. I've worked on a feature with BBC's Morning Live on blind running, because mm-hmm. I was in Manchester, I think it was like May, I did a half
nice,
marathon,
nice.
And I was a running presenter. And as I was running, I saw a lady and she had a bright yellow t-shirt on it and it said, blind runner.
Blind.
And I was just mesmerized.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine how terrifying it must be to, you know, first of all, step out of the house, but to be in that situation. So we did a feature on it and I was really fortunate enough to go through an element of the course and discover what it's like.
Yeah.
And it is brutal. Are we seeing more people in the media? Obviously we've got Chris McCausland.
Yeah.
Have you been following that?
I have actually. It was the first ever interview I did at the BBC as a journalist. I interviewed Chris, who was very lovely to me. What can I say about representation? I think telling everybody that blindness, I guess, isn't scary. It is a start. It's terrifying when you first lose your vision. You think, oh my gosh, my life is over. How do I put one foot in front of the other? How do I hold a dog handle and be okay? And like trust the doggy to like guide me around. All of these things flood your brain. But ultimately, like, we live like this every single day of our life. Like my phone talks at 100 miles an hour. It's just normal to me. Having that representation with Strictly and Chris is just so cool, because he's just like, he says the jokes that everyone's thinking and you're just like smashing the stereotypes twofold. And I just love it. I just love it. I love the fact that in the BT she's got like shin pads on and Diane's like left, right, left, right. And obviously like everyone finds it really inspiring that he's like doing it because he can't see. But I love the fact that we can move beyond inspiration as well and be like, well, it's just bloody normal, you know? Our eyes work through no fault of our don't work through no fault of our own. Like, let's just do this life, you know?
I think seeing it really is normalizing it. And I think I've been made more aware of it recently. And I feel very privileged to be walking with you today, because on a personal level, I actually don't know anybody blind.
Yeah.
So I feel very lucky to be able to spend this time with you. How important are audio descriptions when you meet somebody new? Do you make them aware of the fact that they need to explain?
Yeah, I think one, it's an educational tool. I use it in my work, but two, I am so curious. Like, I had sight before, and maybe I can't speak for all blind people, but for this blind person, like, I love fashion, beauty, design. I love to know what a person's about. And I do think you do get that from what they're wearing, and like knowing that, you know, leopard print's in at the moment and you're wearing a leopard print coat, like it does say something about, you know, how you're in style, and like you're kind of maybe the similar personality to me, you know? Do you know what I mean?
I think I was wearing leopard print before it was fashionable.
Well, there we go.
I am just like the wild leopard, you know, like they've let me out in the wild today, and luckily we're out in the wild together.
No, I love that. Don't you think though, like when someone asks you, well, what do you look like? You think, oh, well, what do I actually look like?
What do you look like?
Yeah, this is the thing. I think it tells you something about that person even before you've met them. So I always say that I'm a blind ginger lady with flowing locks.
One second. If I was to close my eyes now.
Yeah, I'll guide you with my game.
Can you guide
me? I'll go wider.
Is that okay? That's not that's not disrespectful.
Oh my God, no way.
Okay,
oh
would,
God, no
would
way.
You like that if
yeah,
I did that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Okay.
It is, honestly, when you first do it though, you will feel a bit like, oh my gosh, I can hear everything. My senses are really heightened. Actually, when people were blindfolded at my wedding, when I walked down the aisle, their overwhelming thing was like, I can't hear. They can hear. But it's because like you're just probably listening to things like probably stronger, or you think that when you lose your eyesight, because it's your main sense in a way.
So it's overwhelming. Let's talk about the senses.
Yeah. Oh. Don't worry, you're on the graph.
Okay.
So go to the right a bit, honey.
Let's talk about the senses. So in the process of losing your sight, did you find that the other senses did develop?
I think that... Sorry, babe.
This is really hard. Should I open my eyes?
Yeah, go on.
Okay.
Yeah. At least we tried.
We tried.
My other senses. I think... What would I say? I think the other senses are stronger when you first lose your eyesight because you're like, oh my gosh, it's so overwhelming. Like, what is going on? But ultimately, at the end of the day, they're just the same as everybody else's. It's just I've honed in and had mobility lessons to kind of understand what different noises are so they don't scare me, you know?
Wow, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
So you're very, very in tune with everything around you.
Yeah.
From an audio perspective.
Absolutely. I think that's why, like, when I get to the end of the day, like, I am so tired, especially when I've done a job and different things. Like, I love doing what I do, and it's so, like, without it, I don't think I'd be stimulated. But, like, even just standing here and, like, walking through the park, I can hear the different people, like, screaming and different stuff. And then, obviously, because I can't look at that, I'm analysing what that might be and, like, whether it's okay, or do you know what I mean?
So crazy sensory overload.
Yeah, I'd say so. Like, I think... Not as much now because I've been blind for years, but at the start, definitely. Like, I remember there was a point in mine and Ollie's relationship where I'd be like, describe everything. So I wanted to know, like, what colour everything was, blah, blah, blah. But there was a point where I'd get home and I'd be like, Ollie, you've audio described so much. You're tired. I'm tired. I don't think I can deal with this. It's not like glancing at things. This is too much. So then we kind of nip that in the bud quite early on.
What I'm curious to know is, do you think there's a difference in being blind from birth? Or is there almost an advantage to have had sight but then lost it? Because I suppose there's the counterbalance of having to deal with mourning, but you know the yellows, the greens.
Yeah, the pros colour, and cons.
Yeah.
There's moments where, obviously, I can't speak for everybody, but I have had chats with, like, people, friends who've been born blind. There is a lovely clarity when I talk to someone who's just been blind forever, just from birth, that they have. Like, they don't have a sense of mourning or loss, and I think that's the one thing that does eat me up, like... You know, I still have to have psychology because, you know, I don't know if McDonald's sign changes colour or I don't know why that's an example that goes around. But like if, you know, an ambulance changes colour from what it was, or, you know, key cultural things that are in our society that you do feel that sense of mourning all over again and a little pang, you know. So, and the fact that I have seen all of my family's faces and now I can't. That does kind of haunt me still. But equally, like, as you say, I feel like I'm up on the trends. Like, I know what a trend is. Like, I've seen YouTube before I lost my vision. Like, I know what these kind of key things are. Like, I don't know what I would have done if I hadn't seen, like, grass or the sky or the sea. And it's so tough. It's so tough to say what's better. But I think I'm just glad that I'm me and I've had the experiences that I've had, because I guess that's all I can really draw on,
And you speak so positively and proactively about your sight loss.
Yeah.
From sharing viral videos on how to make a cup of tea as a blind person to one of the most recent ones, which is quite out there, and I loved it, how a blind person has sex.
It's funny.
You're gaining major, major traction on these videos. Are you shocked at the positive response you've had?
I think I'm shocked because I didn't realise how many people didn't know. In the same way that I know that we're not taught in our workplaces in our education system about disability.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know about disability until I became disabled myself. That's why it was so overwhelming, so overstimulating. I didn't accept myself for so many years when I had all that wasted time. And if I had true representation growing up, I wouldn't have felt so alone or so worried about being blind. When doing videos like how I pour a glass of water or, you know, how I have sex or whatever, and not that I even answer that properly, by the way. Like, I literally just put some comments on the screen. But I think it's to demonstrate the fact that I do get so many different questions.
Yeah.
I'm happy to answer them because I've been blind for 12 years. It doesn't offend me. Like,
yeah.
I have so many thousands of comments about, oh, look over here, blah, blah, blah. Like, you could probably say anything to me at this point in the comment section and I'll just ignore it. But not that it's not, you know, troubling. So yeah. I want to like raise awareness. However, I hope that in society we come to a place where I do not have to upload these videos forever and people just understand that like losing your eyesight is just a normal part of life for some people and that we are just human spinning around on this big massive rock just like everybody else.
Exactly.
We just do things differently.
We're all here and we're spinning.
Yeah, exactly. So
talk to me about your husband Ollie. This is the most beautiful love story. You met Aww. Together before you were blind.
Yes.
You got married and you're still together. And he, in fact, is actually walking in front of the camera.
He's always with me, bless him. Well, we own our company together as well. So it's we have like a multifaceted relationship. What can I tell you about Ollie? He's like my everything. Like, I don't think I'd be as happy or as positive or as the Lucy I am standing before you today without him. I remember literally losing my eyesight and him being in my childhood bedroom with me and the fairy lights being on and saying to him, you're glowing, all the way to literally losing my eyesight and him coming the day that happened. And I've said to him many times, like, you can leave, like, I'm broken. Well, that's what I thought at some point.
That's what you used to think.
Exactly.
Not now. Not now, girl. We're thriving.
Exactly, we're thriving. So, yeah, I don't know. He's just a beautiful human and the person that's always seen me for me and knew that I was in there. Like, even when I was really struggling, he's like, I know that Lucy's in there. And he's always said that to me. And I think that has given me inner confidence as well as like, I don't know.
What a beautiful soul of a man.
Yeah.
Talk to me through a normal day for the pair of you at home and how he has aided you as well as Molly.
Yeah, love it. Okay, so I mean, this has obviously changed through the years, but if I go to a makeup shop, he's the one braille labelling it with my sister. So yeah, that's ours.
Does he know his makeup well? Yeah.
He does, honestly. Yeah. I think he's had to, bless him. Because for my hobby, like because the world around us isn't made for me, he's just like, blinking heck, I wish someone would fix it so I didn't have to label all these. Not that he cares really, but you know, like it's wasting hours of his life and I think that's why I can't wait to create my makeup brand. But just a daily routine, I guess. It's just like, it used to be him helping me a lot, lot more.
Yeah.
And I don't know, we've just got lots of techniques and
can you take me into the sort of intimacies of, you know, a normal day, waking up, going downstairs, having a cup of tea, from getting into the car, maybe coming into London. How does it all work and how important is he in your day-to-day?
So important. So just starting from my wardrobe, like I have a rail that is just black and white and a rail that is colourful.
Okay.
And if I just want to be independent and I know that it matches black and white today, I dress myself. Nice.
Okay.
However, like if I do want a different pattern or colour, like I tend to get him to audio describe it. In terms of like, what can I say? So like going, usually he's in bed a little bit longer than me and I go down, do my cup of tea, feed the dogs, let them out for a wee. Ollie comes down. I don't know, like I think it's just, it's so boringly normal.
Yeah.
It's like because but we've fought to get it that way, you know, like it didn't used to be like that. He had to do everything for me. And if I've got loads of PR packages everywhere, it's still him moving them out of the way. It's still him doing things.
Do you go around and create a bit of a mess?
Slightly.
And like trail of destruction, because that's kind of what I do.
Yeah.
That's me. But then I panic and like tidy everything up.
Yeah.
Are everyday tasks such as tidying
A lot harder, yeah.
A lot harder.
Yeah. I'd say, when, as I say, when everything's in place.
Is that an excuse? Or
I don't know. It's a bit of both,
Ollie,
I'd say.
Ollie, get the Hoover out.
We have a cleaner, which is an accessibility thing.
Yeah.
They help me so much because they know me. I have a regular person. Like, they help me put washing in, take it out, and it kind of takes the load off. But also, yeah, I think with PR packages, well, we work together, so it's really weird how it merges, like, that's Ollie's job as well, to help me sort them. So yeah, as I say, if everything's in order, it's fine. But if something's not in order, I need to ask him. Which is, you know.
Take me to your wedding day, because this is pretty cool, and it's a little different to, like, a normal wedding. Yeah. But it should be normalised.
Yeah. Absolutely. So we blindfolded everybody, and when I was walking down the aisle, because to be honest, I had felt sick for so many years about, like, not seeing Ollie or not seeing my dress. So
yeah.
I wanted to make it kind of our day. Having a blindfold on and blindfolding our guests was one of the most amazing things. I think people were apprehensive, but we didn't tell them beforehand. So they were like, oh my gosh, you didn't tell us you were going to do it. And then when they took them off, I think they were relieved. But also the fact that me and Ollie were like, this is our life. Ollie always says that blindness isn't something that people should be scared of, that is less than. Like, Ollie has audio description on all of the time anyway, when he's watching Netflix or hasn't having the TV on, because it helps him know the characters quicker. Like, he's like, why don't sighted people tell us about the characters? Like, you're always like wondering for like two or three episodes who this person is, and audio description just kind of names them. So I don't know, there's pros and cons to everything, and I think that's what we wanted to show in our wedding, that it was our day. It was something that I was really, really stressed about. Like, you know, having that bridal moment where, you know, you turn the corner and you see your man. And I don't know, I just think, I just wanted to just not do that and just not kind of perpetuate that stereotype that I was that kind of, I'm not that bride. Like, I'm not going to fit into that mold. I'm a square peg in a round hole. Like, it's not going to work. So I'm so glad we did it.
It's so empowering to see your relationship, because it just shows the depth, because it's based purely on touch and connection through language.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think nowadays in the society we live in, people can be so fickle about what they look like, the shape of their body, what, you know, what colour their hair is. And of course, a huge element of that is style, like you mentioned, but to hear how deeply rooted your relationship is, it's different.
Yeah, we got through blindness, we can get through anything, that's what we always say. And I think the best day of my life was when I couldn't see Instagram anymore to compare myself. And blindness has given me so many gifts. And that's what I always say to people, like, I love being blind. I actually love it. Like, there is no part of me that's scared or wants to change it or like anything about that. I like, this is my life now. I accept myself for who I am. I don't want to walk around thinking, oh my gosh, I wish. You know what? I do wish that the world around me changed so they could normalize the fact that I'm just a human. But that's the only thing I wish. And I think Ollie sees that frustration as well, in that when people talk to him instead of me, and it was so refreshing just like meeting you and just you being so warm. And that's how I could tell you're so smiley, that like not many people just address me for who I am when I first meet them. And it's just really lovely and refreshing that you wanted to show people through your podcast, like, just how to ask someone just to be guided, like giving them the power and autonomy themselves, you know.
There must be so much trust required living with blindness.
Yeah.
Like, even now, for you to come here and walk with me today, a total stranger, have you found yourself in situations where you have had to like adapt, or have you always been that warm and open?
I've definitely had to give myself a bit more of a mouthpiece. I think that's why I'm such a good communicator. That's what I also contribute. My blindness has given me that gift too.
Yeah.
I think with the advent of apps and stuff, like, I don't see myself as kind of vulnerable in that way like I used to. I think, oh my gosh, you know, I'm holding on to someone's hand. Yes, it's a tool, but I'm very much still in control with my mobility aid about where I'm walking. And also, if I wasn't filming a podcast, you would be seeing me if I was on my own with my bone conducting headphones on, still hearing the world around me, but Google Maps is telling me exactly where I am. So I'm not necessarily just trusting strangers, although that is a big element as well. And I do have to communicate, but it's just lovely that with tech, I have autonomy.
Can you talk me through the process of walking around on your own with Molly, and how much of an important role Molly plays in your day-to-day life?
Yeah, so Miss Molly, I'm the navigator and she's the driver.
Okay.
So we work on a straight line principle.
Okay.
Where she just goes straight until I tell her otherwise.
Okay.
But I have so many different foot positions, commands, techniques and tricks that I do as a kind of dog handler, if you like, to tell her to go the right way. So Molly will stand at curbs and I give her treats and I count the curbs to destinations. I do routes about 3 or 4 times and she just knows them off by heart. I also have, as I said, like my 3D audio in my headphones. So if we want to go somewhere new, I can kind of know it'll go intersection, coming up to an intersection, and then I can count the intersections and I kind of know.
Is it an American accent?
Yeah.
Is that why you just
said? Yeah.
Coming up to an intersection.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got a good one. Does Ollie trust Molly?
Absolutely.
FYI, to those listening to the audio, Molly is your guide dog.
Yes, she is my guide doggy. Yeah, so Molly does trust Ollie, and the other way around, I think.
Does Ollie trust Molly?
Both of them.
You guys are out on the town.
Absolutely. Like, Ollie kind of just sees me and Molly as an extension of each other. I think most people do. I think when you live with someone who's blind, it's just Ollie's normal. Like, I don't think that question is probably, you'll ask him and he'll be like, what? Do I trust it? I mean, yeah, it's just normal. Like, I don't know. I think that's not even something that comes into Ollie's head because I've been a guide dog handler for 10 years. So I think it would have been at the start. It's really interesting to see like other people's reactions when they haven't lived with a guide dog because it's, I don't know, they're just so clever.
Aren't animals?
They're just amazing.
So intelligent.
Literally, so intelligent.
Does it shock you, the ability that Molly has given? Is it, again, it's just normal for you? Because I can't get my head around my dog experiences with my brother's Chihuahua,
yeah,
who is now my nan's daughter. Oh. Mojo. Mojo can walk from my nan's house to my mum's house,
yeah,
on her own because she loves to go
love
there
it
for treats.
Love
but
it.
Other than that, I can't imagine Maya taking anybody anywhere.
Yeah, no, fair play. Well, these dogs are like genetically breeded from years and years and years prior. You know, the first ever guide dog is related to Miss Molly right now. So it's years and years of like teaching them how to literally guide a blind person from literally pretty much 8 weeks old. I was really apprehensive at the start when I first grabbed Olga's harness, my first guide dog.
Yeah.
I would be like, oh my gosh, like how is this doggy gonna do that? Like, I don't understand how she's gonna take me from A to B. But I think the nuance of it is like, I couldn't go to school until she did a poo. Like, you know, there's so many elements to them that they are just a dog, and knowing that they have different habits and they're not perfect and they're not robots. And I don't know, you give them so much and they give you so much back. That's what I would say. And
it's the power of connectivity,
yeah,
again on a deeper level.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've just reached the end. So we're going to do a Yui.
Yeah, a little Yui.
Love that. And let's approach lap 3.
Lap 3.
We'll get through some serious steps.
Well, serious steps. Love it.
Talk to me about your book, Blind Not Broken, because there's something very special about the front of your book and the power of connectivity of the two worlds.
Absolutely. Blind Not Broken has a Navalens code on it, which if you guys don't know about that, it's like a code that you can print onto books or packaging and it will tell, you can just load whatever you want onto there really. But usually like with Pantene bottles, for instance, it's the ingredients, like how much it is, blah, blah. With Blind Not Broken, it's like a little link to my audio description, what the front cover looks like. And then also you can find it. So it's really cool.
Wow.
It's awesome.
But that's game changing.
Yeah. Right?
Because we aren't seeing much of that kind of thing.
No, I don't think we are. And I think there is a definite wave of it. I think people are starting to kind of see the fact that that's not just going to help a blind person. It's going to help someone who wants to translate my book into a different language. It's going to help someone who's forgotten their reading glasses. It's so multifaceted. And I think the wave of like D&I, universal design is like definitely coming full force to people, and people are understanding that, yeah, it's not just about blindness. So,
and I want to make another sort of connection point. So the colour of your book is very bright and bold.
Yeah.
I wrote a book a couple of years ago as well, and mine is very, very similar colours.
But it's
actually just highlighted to me that, you know, I haven't made it accessible in that way.
Yeah.
But I did do an audio book.
Oh, well, there you go.
So have you.
Oh my gosh, there was a Brummie actress. I told her the BPM that I listened to because I put a headphone in and how I do presentations and speeches and presenting is that I get a script and I just have it in my ear and I speak simultaneously.
Wow, that so must be like an absolute like...
I feel like a cyborg.
Your like mind mapping ability must be another level.
I think
because
so.
Your processor is going like double the speed.
Miles an hour, yeah. I have to have like 10 hours sleep a night. But that's fine because I just love my face masks and everything.
Face so. Mask,
yeah.
It sounds good. Yeah. You're selling it, girl. Yeah. You're selling it, girl. Lucy, we are on the Monday Mile podcast and we like to ask all of our guests what their relationship is like with Monday. Do you like a Monday?
You know what? Not really. I like
controversial.
Sorry, I like it when I'm with you and I'm going to Pride of Britain tonight.
Yeah.
But usually it's like, oh. I don't know, like Monday morning, I think Monday afternoon,
yeah.
I'm very up for, but I think the start of a new week, it's just a bit like, I don't know, why does everyone hate Monday? There's definitely a psychological thing with that. There's definitely Monday blues.
No, there is, yeah. Isn't there? And I think it's the pre bit before it. How do you get through that? Because a lot of our guests that come on the podcast, some of them love it and they're seizing a new week. But a lot of our listeners will struggle with a Monday.
Yeah.
So how do you beat the Monday blues?
I think it's because I've beaten most other blueses in my life.
Yeah.
So mainly, I think the routine is really helpful.
Okay.
I think recently, because I travel a lot for work, it's different. And sometimes I don't know it's a Monday so that I can like trip myself.
Yeah.
But I think just waking up on a normal Monday, I think it's about making sure that the first 5 minutes is like, right, I'm going to go downstairs, get a cup of tea and just don't have any screens for the first like half an hour. Not having my phone in my room has really helped. And also social media on a different room, in a different phone.
That's very strong. That's like very disciplined.
Thank you.
I'm not going to lie. I don't do that.
Fair play.
I pretty much roll out of bed, nail two coffees, and look at my phone.
Fair play.
I'll admit that.
Do you hate Monday? Or do you like it?
You know what? Today is a great Monday.
Yeah.
It feels incredibly whole.
Yeah.
And I think you are a product of your environment and the people who you surround yourself by.
Yeah.
So today has been an epic Monday.
Thank
so I've
you.
Got to walk with you and meet Aww. You. And lastly, Lucy, we like to ask all of our guests if there is a life motto or quote that they live by that they can share with our listeners.
Wow, I love that. That's so powerful. Just the words, be yourself. Understanding that you are enough and that every day is not going to be the best day necessarily with your self-esteem or self-confidence, but I think telling yourself that even if you don't believe it in the morning, like five things that you want to, even if you don't believe them, is just
should
amazing.
We do it? Should we do it now?
Yeah, I think we need to be like, right.
Should we do five together?
Yeah.
You do one, I do one. Okay, you start. I'm not as experienced in this.
So I'm beautiful.
I'm strong.
Yeah. I'm capable.
I am happy.
I'm confident.
I think that's five.
Yeah, it is.
We've smashed
there
it.
We go.
High five. Yes. Okay, I've got, on that, I've got a silly one. How
go
do
on.
You, as a blind person, do a high five?
Well, you just did that, babe.
That was
you
all me.
You came to me.
That was all me. There you go. I didn't even realise.
I just kind of went the right direction. There
yeah,
we go.
Yeah, there you go. Just like throw it out there. Throw
exactly. You've got to be confident. Fake it till you make it. That's also a good motto.
Yeah. Monday Mile listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to this very, very special episode. I really hope it was insightful for you because I don't know about you, but I have a lot to take away from this episode. Monday Mile listeners, you know what to do. The audio drops every single Monday morning at 12 a.m. for the early risers. So get your headphones in, listen as you commute. Monday Mile, it's a wrap.